Well, thank you for that message and song, how true it is. We can't just do things way at a long distance. We got to get personally into things. And if we're going to reach the world, we got to try to touch them. Amen. Thank you for that message. We got Brother Scotty Drake. Brother Scotty Drake, we're honored to have him as one of our church members here. Many years ago, God laid the burden on his heart to get Helps Ministries going, and no telling what God has done with that across this world, how it's grown, how many souls have been saved and reached because of it. And Brother Scotty amazes me. He travels all over the world under all kind of conditions and getting the job done, and God is blessed in a special way. I'm going to ask Brother Scotty to come up. He may have a little short video to show. He'll introduce our missionary from Nigeria tonight. That's the place where they kidnapped the 300 girls. Remember, it's bad stuff been going on over there. And you know what the answer to that problem is? The gospel. That's the answer all around the world, including Muslims. If they could just get the truth to them, they could stop a whole bunch of bad stuff going on. Anyway, Brother Scotty, you come up and you do as you want to here. If you want to show the video first or have the speaker first, whatever you want to do, please.
All right, on the video, I want you to see it's about the Bible. We honored Brother Chen McMullen in our big missions conference, and we made a short video. We were going to show it tonight, but for time's sake, maybe Brother Knickerbocker will get to show it later when he's here or something. Would that be all right, preacher?
We got time, I think, Scott.
You think so? All right. All right. Preacher says we do it, so we do what the preacher says. Amen? All right. Do we have it ready up there, buddy? All right, go ahead and show that. I think the people enjoy it.
Some change blows seemingly in a different direction by the hour. One thing stands victorious against the test of time. As the trials of tempestuous storms beat upon the very existence, the precious and perfect Word of God remains. It is a living entity wherein life itself is found, only becoming stronger with each blow upon its virtue. No matter the force and no matter the foe, it is the written scripture, sanctified by the Lord God, that changes the very hearts of people around the globe, that alters their eternal destination. The power within the pages of the Bible is second to none, making it imperative to get into the hands of the world's population. It is God's revelation to mankind, manifesting His love toward His creation. Without it, the souls dwell in utter darkness, without hope in this world. The Bible reveals the hand of the Almighty, just as His creation. It was penned through the inspiration of God by 40 different authors across three continents. As amazing and incredible as this world He created is, it will wither, it will fade, but the Bible states His word will forever stand. Something this vital and important and life-changing should be spread. It is for this reason, in 1998, Dr. Chan McMillan saw this need more than ever. While visiting the Philippines, he saw that most church members and some of the pastors in the area didn't have a Bible of their own to use. Upon returning to the States, he set out to raise money to purchase these folks a Bible. He shared this burden with several churches and raised around $13,000 the first year. When the pastors were gifted these Bibles, they hugged and kissed them. They knew the power they held in their hands, and it has helped ministry's goal to get this gift to every person. In the years since 1999, the Bible Fund has brought in over $2 million. Bibles have been sent all over the world to be given to pastors, new believers, and the lost. The Bible declares the Word of God is not bound. It will not be harnessed nor hindered. Therefore, we must endeavor to press forward in sending the Holy Scriptures to the regions beyond. This will provide breath of life upon the dry bones of mankind by offering eternal salvation from within the pages of the inspired written script which God Himself ordained. This is the challenge of our hearts and minds, to accept the calls and take up the banner unfurled, to ensure every person has the opportunity of receiving a copy of God's Word.
Folks, you might like that. Brother Chim McMullen has just, that's one of his projects. Listen, there's almost seven and a half billion people in the world. If you could shrink it down to 100, only four has a Bible. Isn't that amazing? I heard on Fox News they're talking about this new museum that they're building in Washington, D.C., and the person talking about it on Fox News said this. They said the homes in America average 2.5 Bibles a home. I've got one in almost every room. Yet only 4% of the world has one. So, got to get the Word of God to them, don't we? Okay, Brother Michael, I want you to come up here. All right, Brother Michael, what I want you to do, I want you to sing something.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and then give us about a 10 minutes testimony and tell our folks here what you do, all right?
Amen.
This Boko Haram, that's where they stole all those kids, the Muslims, almost 300 of them, and took them, and I was talking to him a while ago. He said now they've got 80 back, and they're using the rest of them as suicide bombers for churches and Christian places and stuff like that. So that's where this guy's from, all right?
Praise the Lord. It is good to be home. When I say it is good to be home, I'm a product of your effort in America here. I was led to Christ by an American missionary. It's always a blessing to be here, to see people on the other side of the world thinking the way you think, having the same vision that you have, and praying for the same vision. It's a blessing. Tonight, I want to sing a hymn, Close to Thee, down my everlasting portion. And I'm going to sing it in my dialect. The language we sing in our place is called Yoruba. I'm from the western part of the country, the Asian city of Ibadan. And I sing. Ire ni pite mi la la ojugbo gbo ore lo tayo tayo ni moji ye kemi le faramo sumo 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 tayo ta yo ni moji ya kemi le faramo. The song is saying that my everlasting portion, more than friend, all life to me. And that is all means Jesus should be all to us. I want to thank the Lord because of my time. I want to quickly go into my testimony tonight. In 1996, I was born into a Catholic church. My family are Catholics. My marriage was just 3 months when a missionary came to us and shared the gospel with us. I remember that fateful day on the 11th of June, second Saturday in the month of June, 1996. The missionary came that day and asked me a very wonderful question, and he asked me that, do I know for sure if I die right now that I'm going to go to heaven? And my answer was sure, because I thought what I've been taught all my life was good enough to take me to heaven. You know, the kind of garbage they teach us in Africa is that there are a list of things you must do in order to be saved or to remain saved. And Bible made us to realize that no one is going to be saved by the work of righteousness. I thank God the pastor showed me from the scripture that there is virtually nothing I can do to save myself. Because he asked me a question that day. I said, if all you have told me is what you need to do, do you think Jesus will need to go to the cross and die? And I tell you, that really ripped up my face, just like an arrow on my side. Then I asked him, just like Nicodemus did, then what must I do in order to be saved? Then he took the scripture and showed me, and my wife, we knelt down beside that dirty road. We trusted Christ. I remember it was on Saturday, and on Sunday was the first day, which is church, is coming up. We were in church. After the service, we were baptized. And you know, the seal of the first time you got saved, you know how happy you're going to be, the kind of seal you're going to have. You want to get involved in so many things. And that's the kind of spirit that came upon me. I was all over the church trying to get involved in one thing or the other. And while doing this, God began to burden my heart to do one thing more for him. And the first ministry that I started under the local church is what we call an hospital ministry. What is it all about? We go into different hospitals to visit people with different illness. But there's this particular hospital that God really burdened my heart about. And it's a place where they treated the sickness called cancer. Far back in 1996, it is a terrible situation when you have that kind of sickness in my place. Because there are no medication, nothing like chemo. All they do is just to give them an injection or maybe some analgesic to kill the pain. And people will suffer from day to day until they die. And the Lord really used us, number one, to get the gospel across to them. Number two, to be an encouragement to them. And through this, we see so many souls saved. And while I was doing that, God burdened my heart to preach. I woke up to my pastor. He later agreed to send me to Bible college, went back home, and my family threw me out of the house for wanting to preach the gospel. We stand by our faith. I went to Bible college with my wife, with my first daughter, in 1996, and the name of the Bible college I went to is Blue Mountain Baptist Bible College, which is a affiliation of Tabernacle Baptist Bible College in Greenfield, South Carolina here. But it was highly amazing. While there, God uses the churches that we are attached to, Bible-believing independent Baptist churches that we are attached to, uses us as a church planter to start churches. Amen. In remote areas. And through that, we were able to start a lot of churches. And before I graduated from Bible college, God has already done upon my heart the direction he wanted me to go as a church planter. But after I graduated, I returned back to my sending church, but my pastor did not want to let go. It's highly amazing. You got to be obedient to your spiritual father. Then at the same time, you got to be obedient to God. So I'm in between two opinions. I had to start praying to God. And God, if you want me on mission field, you got to speak to the heart of my pastor. Finally, in the year 2002, my missionary pastor had to move out of our country, turn the church to a local pastor, national pastor, and I walked up to him in December 2002, and he decided he was going to send me out. The church decided we were going to send me out on mission field with one-time love offering. In January 2003, we were sent forth with a love offering of less than $60. And by faith, we moved to the mission field. It's highly amazing what the Lord has done ever since then. We've planned some churches. We've been able to raise some pastor out of the church. We have one of our pastors that has now become a missionary working in a confluence city named Lokoja, where the two rivers meet on our map. That is where he is. God has really burdened our hearts into different ministry. We've just started a ministry early this year called Christ for All Nations. American missionary have done so much for us in Africa, and it is our time that the Lord has begun to burden our own heart to get out of our shell and move to other African countries to reach people there. It's highly amazing. We started a program March 14 this year. I was in Kenya for 14 days, and it's highly amazing what the Lord did within the 14 days. We were into prison. We preach on the street, preach in the juvenile home, preach in so many places, show Jesus' film on the street. And in 14 days, we were able to reach over 8,000 people for the Lord. It's highly amazing, and the Lord is moving us to three other African countries in February. I will be in Uganda on the 28th of February. Then from there, I will move to Rwanda, then to Tanzania. It's going to be three countries in a stretch. We need your prayer. Most of this country, just like my country, are Muslim-dominated country. You don't tell them at the point of entry that you are going to preach the gospel. You tell them you're visiting a friend, or maybe you are a tourist visitor, and when you get in there, you just do what you can before you get out of the place. Pray for us that God will give us an open door. Pray for us that God will give us more opportunity to get our gospel across the whole of Africa and reach as many as we can. Then, like my pastor said, my country, it's over 180 million, about 8 years ago. We don't even know where we are now. It's very unfortunate. It's a country where nothing works. But by the grace of God, they are trying their best. The government is trying their best to Islamize the country. And we're also trying their best to match them up. To the glory of God, we are looking at starting some churches in the coming year, and God has given us a burden to put up three more churches in the coming year. I want us to be praying for us. Number one, for God to send laborer, we need human resources. And number two, God provision, that we need prayer support. Please pray for us as we do all this thing, and God bless you as you do. Thank you.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Michael. All right. How do you like his suit? Believe it or not, he sews his suit. He's got all different kinds of suits. Brother Glenn Mormon's going to come. Brother Glenn, let me just say this before you come, or you just come right on up here. He's been in a ministry 42 years, pastor of the church. And all at once, he said, hey, I need to be involved in what you're doing. And so he got involved with Help Ministries. This is how Help Ministry started. It started by us going down to Mexico, just a few of us, and we started helping four people, had no idea what we was getting into. Today, we're in 70 countries. We know that there's between 3,000 and 4,000 churches. There's been one to two churches started every single day. It's unreal what the Lord has done. God has been so good. And, you know, I've always said this. I said, you know, I had no idea what we was getting into. But I believe when you help the poor, you help the poor. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to help the poor. We're trying to help the oppressed. Those that have illegal churches. We go in countries like that all the time, and God has been so good. Brother Glenn Mormon is with us. If it wasn't for guys like you, I'd be nothing. God bless you, brother.
Thank you, Brother Scotty. Thank you for the privilege to work and help ministry. Open your Bible real quickly to Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to give it to you fast. If you're taking notes, guys, I'm going to give you five points, and you're going to have to put the meat on the skeleton that I throw to you as I go through it real quickly. Matthew chapter 6, please. Where are your treasures? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Consider what Jesus is saying. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Why not? Because earthly treasures are bad? No, it's not so. They just don't last. You're going to give them all up one day, same as I am.
That's right.
Proverbs chapter 23, verse 5 says something like this. When you look at riches, remember they're going to sprout wings and fly away one day. So the next time you go down and plop down a big amount of money on something, just imagine one day it's going to do this number on you. It's going to go away. Now, sooner or later, everything that I have, my most prized possessions, they're going to be gone. I'm going to be gone. But when Jesus warns us not to store up treasures on earth, it's not because wealth might one day be lost. It is because wealth will always be lost to us if we only use it here on earth. We either leave it while we live or we leave it when we die. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Why? Because it's right, Jesus said to do it. Not only that, but it's smart to lay up treasures in heaven. Amen? It is smart because treasures in heaven are going to last how long?
Forever.
First point, guys, is this. God owns everything. I'm only a money manager. God owns everything. Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. God owns it all. He allows me to be a steward of that which he entrusts to me. But a steward has no real right for entitlement. He is simply serving the real owner. Once a distraught man rode his horse up to John Wesley, shouting, Mr. Wesley, Mr. Wesley, your house just burned down. Your house just burned down. Wesley weighed the news and then calmly replied, no. The Lord's house burned down.
Yeah.
Wasn't mine. And we begin to think like owners, that's a red flag. It's his, folks. It's his. Now, our name is on God's account. And as a steward, we are entitled to set our salary. We get to choose that portion that we're going to live on, that we're going to pay ourselves. We're entitled to that. We have unrestricted access to what God puts in our hands. But one of the central spiritual decisions is determining, what am I going to do with the part that belongs to him? It's humbling to go to a foreign country and to have people give you the best they have when it's really a sacrifice. They give you the best food, the best seat, they do it with joy. You know, when the tabernacle was being built, they had to restrain the people from bringing stuff. Because they had gotten a hold of this thing that God owns it all. I am his steward. I am going to give back to God what is rightly his. You ever hear the song? I'm sure you have. Thank you for giving to the Lord. It depicts people meeting us in heaven, thanking us for giving to the Lord. We may have been a Sunday school teacher. We may have brought them in on a Sunday school bus. We may have won them to Christ. We may have given money so a missionary could go to a foreign field like they did Michael's place and win that person to Jesus Christ. We will have the joy one day of seeing those folks in heaven and receiving their gratitude. Will we get to meet in heaven those that our mission dollars actually put men on the field, families on the field, they won people to Christ? Will we get to meet them? I absolutely believe we will. But I find a lot of Christians dread the thought of leaving earth, man, but they're holding on. Why? Because not enough of us are storing up treasure in heaven. We're putting too much treasure here. John Wesley toured a vast estate with a proud plantation owner. It was vast. They rode for hours and never got to see all the man's wealth. Finally, at dinner, the man turned to John Wesley and he said, Mr. Wesley, he said, what'd you think? John Wesley said, I think you're going to have trouble leaving all this. Now, let me encourage you to write your faith promise checks every week or every month. You're a steward.
That's right.
It's all his.
Amen, brother.
I try to write my every month at least. You know, Satan doesn't seem to fight me when I write little checks to the church. But when I try to write a bigger one, you know, I get a little static.
Yeah.
Number two, my heart always goes where I put money. Look in verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. They say, show me your checkbook, your Visa account, and I'll show you where your heart is. If you buy shares of General Motors, what happens? Every time General Motors goes up, your ears perk up. Yeah, that's good news. You wouldn't buy a Ford or a Honda because you're interested in General Motors. If you are helping some missionary in Africa, when Africa gets on the news, you're interested in that. If you're helping a church in India and they have a tsunami, you're interested in that. Because part of your heart, your money is there. Your money dictates where your heart goes. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there's your heart. Money leads, heart follows. I've heard people say when I was a pastor, oh, I wish I had a bigger heart for missions. Start giving to missions. God will give you a bigger heart. You put more money into missions, you'll have a heart for missions.
That's good. Yes.
Put your church in the will. At least tithe your estate to your church. I have three sons. Two of them are pastors. Pretty easy to divide up a will. First of all, 10% of our will, whatever I have, my wife has, when we die, 10% goes to Hampshire View Baptist Church back in Silver Spring, Maryland, and allowed me the privilege of being their pastor for 40 years. My three sons get 30%. But the first decision my wife and I made is we're going to tithe our estate. Put your church in your will. Go to heaven with a smile on your face. You're laying up treasure in heaven.
That's good preaching, brother.
Number three, heaven, not earth, is my home. Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. We're pilgrims here, aren't we? We're strangers. We're just passing through. We're ambassadors representing the Lord Jesus Christ. Our citizenship is in heaven. And when we choose to store our where we choose to store our treasure depends on where we think our home is. I'm convinced that one of the greatest deterrents to giving, to missions, and to other causes for Jesus Christ is the illusion that earth is our home. You ever see the bumper sticker, he who dies with the most toys wins? No, he who dies with the most toys leaves them all. I used to go to estate sales until I got to thinking about, you know, this. That's me in 20 years. That's me in 30 years. They're going to take everything that I valued, and they're going to sell it for pennies on the dollar. My wife can't get me to an estate sale anymore. Made me think about all the things I valued that I'm going to leave, and somebody's going to get for a quarter. I helped one of my men in Maryland, one of my friends in my church, I didn't know it, but when I was helping him, we got to his garage, he had 40 fishing poles. Can you imagine a guy having 40 fishing poles? I also buried him. I preached his funeral. You know how many fishing poles his family had to get rid of? 40 fishing poles. You're going to part with your money one way or another. Missionary offerings help me and you store up treasure in heaven. Number four, giving is the only antidote to materialism. If you're a tightwad, start giving. It'll loosen up and give you joy and freedom. Give to the Lord's work. The act of giving is a vivid reminder that it isn't about me, it's about Jesus. Be faithful to give your faith promise mission offerings. Lay up some treasure in heaven. Number five, God prospers me not to raise my standard of living, but my standard of giving. Think about that. Oh, boy, you got to raise. Hey, honey, we can raise our standard of living. People get a certain amount of wealth and they think, wow, what a blessing. It may be a test. It may not be a blessing. It may be God testing you and me. It's not so we can find more ways to spend money. Folks, we already have more than most of the world will ever have. So could I urge us to give humbly, generously, frequently to your ministry here and to the worldwide mission program that you have? Why? Because the Lord's return is closer than it was last year this time when you had a missions conference. His coming is nigh. And I'm the older I get, I'm trying to get more bold, Brother Scotty. I really am. I'm trying to get much more bolder in my witness, in my personal witnessing. I am going to stand before God Almighty and give an account of my life. I like Dunkin' Donuts, and I stop for their, I don't get their donuts, but I do like their coffee, and I went in the other day, and before I got out of the car, I took a Chick Track and stuck it in my pocket. I said, Lord, give me the boldness to give whoever waits on me this track. Now, if you've been in Dunkin' Donuts, you know they're pretty busy at times. And it was that way. There were people coming and going. But I had prayed, Lord, give me boldness. When I got up there, a little girl waited on me. And I said, young lady, would you be insulted if I gave you something to read about Jesus, about heaven? She took it and she said, no. And the young man next to her said, man, I know I'm going to heaven. I have to be, folks, I'm going to die one day. And I want to have given Jesus my best. And I want to have been a good steward with what he gave to me and my wife. Preacher.
Thank you, Brother Glenn. That was good. That was the bottom line. That was where the tire meets the road. I was thinking as he was saying those things. Just an hour and a half ago, I guess, I was over at Brother Clyde. We know he's on his deathbed. We know the Lord's about to welcome him home. And I'll say more about this as the opportunity comes. I know about the time Brother Clyde got saved. He was a country boy like me. From that time on, he started living for God and being a tither. There he is right now. Can't open his eyes. I think he squeezed my hand. I think I know he knows I'm there. But you know what? He had his wife written out the check. He's tithing while he's still on his deathbed. They had a little place that they sold. And he gave me a check a while ago for the tithe. Off of that. Now, I want to tell you what. If he'd never given a thing, he'd still face God. But he'll face God with a record he won't be ashamed of. And what you just said, Brother Glenn, is so 100% true. Man, if we could just get a hold of that. And we, all of us, any of us, might be a lot closer to facing God than we think. Coming down the road trying to get home. Took me almost an extra day to get home because in the midst of all that traffic, somebody dropped something off a truck, I reckon, and I hit it. And I busted a tire, busted the battery. And grace of God, didn't have a pile up. I didn't expect that, but 1 second later it happened.
That's right.
1 second later. Not two, but one.
That's right.
And I thank God for his grace, but you might be healthy. That don't mean you don't have an appointment to face God pretty soon. How are we going to face him? Where our treasure is, our heart will be also. Thank you, Brother Mormon. Been a good mission start tonight. This man from Nigeria there, think about what he's doing, what God's using him to do.
Yeah.
If you think, say, well, I don't want to go soul winning, the dogs might bite me. Is that the biggest problem we got? What about where he's at? What about the things that Christians are having to overcome all around the world, folks? Hope you'll pray. Pray about our mission goal. We're behind. Pray about it. Like Brother Mormon said, you ought to be writing a regular check. Here's what happens to us. I'll catch it up later. And all of a sudden, the mountain's too big. Piled up.
Go ahead.
Do it on a regular basis. And God will help you on that basis. Amen. Thank you for that message, brother. That was good. Let's stand, please. Let's remember tomorrow night. We start at 7. We're going to put the spotlight on some home mission work. And it might surprise you what God has used some people to do in our midst. And then Sunday, we'll be here again from Helps Ministry. And then Sunday night, we'll be again taking the green cards and adding them up to try to get a guesstimate. And that's all it is, try to get a guesstimate of what our goal next year will be. We got to finish this one. And the last offering on it is watch night service, which is getting closer. And I hope you're praying about it. And I hope you'll really be thinking about what the preacher said tonight. You got 40 fishing poles. We got people that's got so much stuff, they can't even hardly know what they got.
Right. Yeah.
They're going to leave it all. Wow, that was good preaching. And we appreciate your testimony, Brother Michael. We'll be praying for Brother Michael. And isn't it amazing how God can go around the world and reach somebody like he did, Brother Michael? and use him. And just a wonderful truth to see. If we could see it as God sees it. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for what you've done for us tonight. We thank you, Father, for the testimony of this man that you reached around the world and not only saved him, but using him to reach others and get churches started. Father, we praise you for that. We praise you for the message we heard right out of the Word of God tonight. The simple thing, Lord, where our treasure is, our heart's going to be there. I hope our treasure, Father, is in reaching souls and serving you. I pray tonight, Father, you'd bless the Conley family and the others that we've named on the prayer list that are having a rough time. But help us, Father, to realize that just in a little while, your saints will struggle a little bit on the deathbed, but then, Father, the bliss and the glory that'll be on the other side, it'll make it worth it all for sure. Bless us tomorrow night as we again are reminded it's your cause of getting the word around the world. This little film we saw tonight on the Bibles, thank you for the fact we've been able to see Bibles go around the world. And Lord, it's the only answer to the world, your word that changes things. Thank you again for blessing our heart tonight. Bless us again tomorrow night and help us to be faithful. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.